Mort hesitated and then put the bag of gold coins on the table. The wizard glanced at them, made a little whinnying noise in the back of his throat, and reached out. Mort's hand shot across and grabbed his wrist.
"I've walked through walls," he said, slowly and deliberately.
Of course you have, mumbled Cutwell, not taking his eyes off the bag. He flicked the cork out of the bottle of blue liquid and took an absent-minded swig.
"Only before I did it, I didn't know that I could. And when I was doing it, I didn't know I was. And now I've done it, I can't remember how it was done, and I want to do it again."
"Why?"
"Because," said Mort, "if I could walk through walls, I could do anything."
"Very deep," agreed Cutwell. "Philosophical. And the name of the young lady on the other side of this wall?"
"She's..." Mort swallowed. "I don't know her name. Even if there is a girl," he added haughtily. "And I'm not saying there is."
"Right," said Cutwell. He took another swig and shuddered. "Fine. How to walk through walls. I'll do some research. It might be quite expensive, though."
Mort carefully picked up the bag and pulled out one small gold coin.
"A down payment," he said, putting it on the table.
Cutwell picked up the coin as if he expected it to go bang or evaporate, and examined it carefully.
"I've never seen this sort of coin before," he said accusingly. "What's all this curly writing?"
"It's gold, though, isn't it?" said Mort. "I mean, you don't have to accept it."
Sure, it's gold," said Cutwell hurriedly. "It's gold, all right. I just wondered where it had come from, that's all."
"You wouldn't believe me," said Mort. "What time's sunset round here?"
"We normally manage to fit it in between night and day," said Cutwell, still staring at the coin and taking little sips from the blue bottle. "About now."
Mort glanced out of the window. The street outside already had a twilight look to it. "I'll be back," he muttered, and made for the door. He heard the wizard call out something, but Mort was heading down the street at a dead run. He started to panic. Death would be waiting for him 40 miles away. There would be a row. There would be a terrible, "Ah, boy." A familiar figure stepped out from the flare around a jellied eel stall holding a plate of winkles. "The vinegar is particularly piquant. Help yourself. I have an extra pin." But of course, just because he was 40 miles away didn't mean he wasn't here as well. And in his untidy room, Cutwell turned the gold coin over and over in his fingers, muttering, "Walls," to himself, and draining the bottle. He appeared to notice what he was doing only when there was no more to drink, at which point his eyes focused on the bottle and through a rising pink mist read the label which said, "Granny Weatherwax's Ram Rub Invigorate and Passions Filter, one spoonful only before bed, and that small."
"Boy myself?" said Mort.
"Certainly. I have every faith in you."
Gosh. The suggestion put everything else out of Mort's mind, and he was rather surprised to find that he didn't feel particularly squeamish. He'd seen quite a few deaths in the last week or so, and all the horror went out of it when you knew you'd be speaking to the victim afterwards. Most of them were relieved, one or two of them were angry, but they're all glad of a few helpful words.
"Think you can do it?"
"Well, yes, sir, I think."
"That's the spirit. I've left Binky by the horse trough round the corner. Take him straight home when you've finished."
"You're staying here, sir?"
Death looked up and down the street, his eye sockets flared.
"I thought I might stroll around a bit," he said mysteriously. "I don't seem to feel quite right. I could do with the fresh air."
He seemed to remember something, reached into the mysterious shadows of his cloak, and pulled out 3 hourglasses.
"All straightforward," he said. "Enjoy yourself."
He turned and strode off down the street, humming.
Thank you," said Mort.
He held the hourglasses up to the light, noting the one that was on its very last few grains of sand.
"Does this mean I'm in charge?" he called,
but Death had turned the corner. Binky greeted him with a faint whinny of recognition. Mort mounted up, his heart pounding with apprehension and responsibility. His fingers worked automatically, taking the scythe out of its sheath and adjusting and locking the blade, which flashed steely blue in the night, slicing the starlight like salami. He mounted carefully, wincing at the stab from his saddle sores, but Binky was like riding a pillow. As an afterthought, drunk with delegated authority, he pulled Death's riding cloak out of its saddlebag and fastened it by its silver brooch. He took another look at the first hourglass and nudged Binky with his knees. The horse sniffed the chilly air and began to trot. Behind them, Cutwell burst out of his doorway, accelerating down the frosty street with his robes flying out behind him. Now the horse was cantering, widening